Sir, we can't have your type on our Goonie golf course. One of the favorite pastimes of all the Conrad grandchildren and Grandpa as well was Goonie golf. Many an afternoon or evening, we find a large group of Conrad grandchildren, along with uncle or aunt or two, and of course Grandpa, in heated arguments over the score of a round of Goonie golf. See, Grandpa was quite a competitor when it came to putt-putt, and he would do anything to avoid being beaten at his favorite sport. It's a well-known fact that Grandpa, who would never let anybody else keep score, would often shave strokes off his score. Or if he was tightly deadlocked in a round with, say, 5-year-old Bill or Heather or 7-year-old Lou or Dana. It's also a well-known fact that Grandpa was the biggest customer at Goonie Golf and that the course soon went out of business after the Conrad grandchildren became older and went to other activities. It's a little-known fact, however, that Grandpa was actually banned from the Goonie Golf course for a short period of time. And I believe that Goonie Golf was forced to reinstate him in good standing after financial considerations. The entire amazing episode went as follows. Grandpa was having a particularly frustrating round one evening. He had already had to shave his score several times in order not to be beaten by the Trosh brothers, who at the time, both of whom were under 7 years of age, and his putts just were not falling. He had managed to stay slightly ahead by means of a fast eraser and padding Lou and Bill's scores at certain critical points. He was ahead by only one or two strokes when we came to the infamous 18th hole. Now, the 18th hole was typical of the last hole on most putt-putt courses of that time. One had to put the ball up a ramp in which there were three holes. The hole at the top was hooked to a bell, and if one managed to put the ball into that hole, one would win a pass for a free game. Sometimes, though, the ball would come back down the ramp and roll out at one's feet, adding a stroke to one's score. Grandpa was thus faced with quite a dilemma. He could just putt straight out and win the hard-fought round, or he could chance it and go for the free pass and risk adding to his score. The strategy of winning a free round eventually won out, and he thought he could adjust the scores anyway when he made the final tally. Grandpa stepped up to the final hole and lined up his putt. The ball then proceeded to go up the ramp, circle the hole, and come back down the bottom where it rolled out at Grandpa's feet. Now this, of course, threw Grandpa to a tirade of obscenities. He lined up the putt again. Next putt was an instant replay of the first, with the ball looking as though it would go into the free game cup, only to lip out and roll back down the ramp to rest at Grandpa's feet again. Now Grandpa was tied with Bill, and in an absolutely ballistic state of mind, he bellowed out obscenities at the damn contraption. That was the source of his frustration, and people all over the course were beginning to look and laugh. Grandpa angrily lined up the putt for the third attempt to stroke the ball. Once again, the ball went up the ramp, lipped out on the free game hole, rolled back down to Grandpa's feet. Now, this was more than Grandpa could take. He let out a barrage of obscenities and swung back and connected with a perfect 100-yard drive that barely missed several other players on the course and came to rest somewhere on the shoulder of Independence Avenue. The startled attendants, seeing the near demise of several child patrons as the ball whizzed dangerously close to their head, headed out on the course and confronted Grandpa, who was in a terrible state directly. "Sir, you're going to have to leave. We just can't have your type on our golf course," he insisted. Grandpa, who was already en route to the car to avoid retrieving his ball from Independence Avenue, gave him a few especially choice words, and we all piled into the car and headed back to Walker Road.